Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, and we're thrilled to tell you today, they're not all crazy martinis. We do have good, bad, and crazy, so things are looking slightly better, unless, of course, you either are or a strong supporter of Chris Christie. And so we don't necessarily have a across-the-board good martini for conservatives today. If you're a conservative who really likes Chris Christie, you're going to think we have two bad martinis today. This is a new poll out from Bloomberg as well as the Des Moines Register, and it's a fairly comprehensive survey of about 4,000 likely caucus-goers, both Republicans and Democrats. But the part we're going to focus on is the part where Republicans were surveyed. They not only asked Republicans in Iowa which candidates who are either already making moves to get in the race or could get in the race, whether they would vote for them, but what their favorable or unfavorable opinion of them is. And for the most part, they're all above water, with the exception of a couple who people just don't really know very well, like Mike Pence or Carly Fiorina. But when you look at Ben Carson's doing very well, Ted Cruz does very well, Huckabee, of course, who won in 2008, is doing fine. Rick Perry's got great name ID. Rand Paul, surprisingly, doing very strong in terms of favorability. Then you've got the more establishment types who are a little more evenly split. Jeb Bush, 46-43. But for Christie, 36% favorable, 54% unfavorable. Jim, and when you combine this with his vaccine comments over the past couple of days, and we'll get into that more in the next martini, and stories that are coming out today about Jeb Bush gobbling up prominent Republican donors in New Jersey, you know, Mitt's already out of the way, and it looks like Chris Christie's finding less and less elbow room all the time.
Iowa was probably never going to be one of Chris Christie's strong states. The expectation is that a northeastern governor who's perceived to be in the centrist part of the party would play better in New Hampshire, where there's a larger independent vote and registered independents can vote in the GOP primary. I also would note, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't do terrifically in that area, in part because of the stylistic differences between the New York, New Jersey area and the New Hampshire area. New Hampshire was supposed to be Rudy Giuliani's base. And while you could point to certain differences between Rudy Giuliani and Chris Christie, they're both outspoken, hardly shy, retiring violets, very New York, New Jersey types. And that kind of cultural persona doesn't always play well in these, you know, small towns up in New Hampshire. Either way, that is the numbers for him, and it's not really terrific. And I think, you know, like the what makes it a really awful start for the week for him is just both that martini and, of course, the bad martini we're segueing to right here.
Yeah, exactly right. And he's certainly not alone in that department. One of the big stories, and there's been a lot of big stories lately, but on the health front has been this measles outbreak connected to Disneyland and other places around the country. Part of it's been chalked up to people coming across the border who haven't been vaccinated and bringing disease with them. Others, of course, focusing on the fact that some parents choose not to vaccinate their kids, and so therefore they make their own kids susceptible and potentially other kids susceptible if their kids come down with the measles or other communicable diseases. And that, of course, has set off the vaccination debate. Chris Christie made headlines over the weekend by saying that he's in favor of vaccinations, but ultimately it should be left up to parents. They should be the ones making the decisions, not government mandates. Rand Paul was the latest to wade into it in a couple different ways on Monday, starting with this comment on the Laura Ingraham radio show, where he was asked about whether vaccinations should be mandatory.
Most of them ought to be voluntary. And, you know, what happens if you have somebody not want to take the smallpox vaccine and it ruins it for everybody else? You know, I think there are times in which there can be some rules, but for the most part, it ought to be voluntary.
So then he went on CNBC to talk about the president's budget and some other things, and the reporter said, did you really tell Laura Ingraham that vaccines shouldn't be mandatory?
Well, I guess being for freedom would be really unusual. I guess I don't understand the point, why that would be controversial. Parents own the children, and it is an issue of freedom.
This is how all this gets translated. This is MSNBC on the Al Sharpton show. The people you'll be hearing are Dana Milbank of the Washington Post and Joan Walsh of Salon.
I don't know what freedom is when they're saying you own your children. What are they, golden retrievers? I didn't realize that parents own children. But look, this is a fringe element that he's representing,
right.
The libertarians. You expect that kind of thing from Rand Paul. You don't expect it from the governor of New Jersey,
well,
who
he went a little
purports
bit beyond,
to represent the mainstream.
He went a little bit beyond what we expect. And the parents owning their children really is a staple of right-wing rhetoric.
Jim, there's a couple of problems here. Number one, it's tough to...
There are a lot of problems. Here.
First
we'll
of all,
press through the plethora of problems here.
Well, first of all, Republicans do not articulate well on this issue. When they try to get nuanced on an issue, if you can call what just happened nuance, the liberal media loves to tear it apart because they don't believe, as we've established with MSNBC before, that parents ultimately ought to have the final say over their children. But in the end, when the media gets done with this story, the takeaway that most non-political Americans are going to take is Republicans are anti-vaccine wackos.
I was just trying to think about where to begin with all this. First of all, the point Christie was trying to take, and that I think Rand Paul was trying to make until he started talking about the people who've had reactions to vaccines and had, you know, serious mental problems and things like that. Almost everybody in the GOP, certainly among the office holders, is pro-vaccination. If you'd asked them, should I get my kids vaccinated? They would say, yes, sure, absolutely. Where most conservatives feel a little bit squishy is on the question of whether the government should force you to get vaccinated. Should the government take you and your children and say, we don't care if you have a problem with it, we're going to vaccinate your kids anyway. That strikes a bunch of folks as un-American. Now, there are some folks, including Ben Carson, and folks may recall me giving him a little grief about his tie to a company that once said their products could cure autism. Look, he's not saying, look, you know, these diseases are serious enough that this is okay overruling individual liberty in this area, that I'm willing to let people, you know, require people to get vaccinated. In most cases, for a bunch of states, the circumstance is, look, you don't have to vaccinate your kid, but then you can't come to public school. And the idea that if you're, you know, at risk for, you know, communicating or carrying this sort of disease, you know, you're not allowed to partake of certain public benefits and things like that, like schooling. The other great irony here is that this is always something that's been associated with kind of a crunchy green environmentalist Marin County kumbaya, I'm shopping at Whole Foods mentality. It's not this, you know, militia, crazy militia, rural Republican thing. Nonetheless, the media has grabbed it and is running with the ball and is insisting that Republicans are anti-vaccination, even though folks like, say, Robert Kennedy Jr. have been adamantly insisting vaccines cause autism for a long time. The Republicans kind of word their arguments a little bit clumsily, attempting to kind of leave a little bit of a window for individual conscience or individual objections to this policy. There are Democrats who are adamant about this, who are insisting that autism comes from this. They're suffering no real, you know, public rebuke from the media. The media's sole interest in this is there's an issue to make Republicans look crazy. Now, I think Rand Paul went pretty far in that interview in which he said, you know, he'd seen cases of there being terrible reactions. And we go from this way. I think there's a lot of soft anti-vaccination thinking out there of folks who may not believe, you know, the full, oh, the vaccine companies are, you know, in bed with big pharma and they're all about profits and, you know, they're going to herd us into FEMA camps and all that kind of conspiratorial thinking. And I think there are a lot of parents out there who are like, well, okay, even if it's only one in a million, what if it's my child? How sure certain are scientists about the long-term effects? How certain are they about side effects? Now, the vast majority of doctors you speak to will say, get your kids vaccinated. Trust us. It's worth it. The risks, you know, are so small as to be not worth it. And the risk of having your child not vaccinated is much, much worse. But, you know, walking through all this doesn't lend itself very well to a soundbite. And as instead, you know, the New York Times is now writing about this as if it was solely a Republican viewpoint of vaccine skepticism or vaccine opposition. We've just stepped on a rake, and it's going to take a lot of pushback to dispel this flat-out lie that the media is eager to you know, blast out there.
Absolutely. The question's going to keep coming now that a couple presidential hopefuls have brought it up or at least responded to the questions. And as long as the measles story is out there, it's going to keep coming too. And you're right, it doesn't fit neatly into a soundbite, and that gives the narrative that a lot of folks want. All right, on to the crazy martini and back to Iowa now and back to that same Bloomberg and Des Moines Register poll. Jim, Mike Huckabee, after leaving Fox News, has made quite a few headlines about his commentary on the culture, women in New York and their speech, and the president and the first lady and how, what they let their daughters listen to, including Beyonce and Jay-Z. And one of the things he described Beyonce's music as was mental poison. So one of the questions in this poll is, in his recently published book, Mike Huckabee criticized the singer Beyonce, calling her mental poison. Do you think Huckabee is mostly right about Beyonce, or did he go too far? 40% of Republican respondents said mostly right. 38% said went too far. 22% said not sure. Jim, I'm not sure how popular Beyonce is in Iowa, and I'm not sure mental poison is not just equal to don't particularly care for Beyonce's music, but it definitely shows once again that Huckabee knows Iowa, and it may mean that Republicans could end up playing a little bit of defense on this issue too.
Yeah, I mean, three things to unpack here. One being that if you believe a perspective that I largely agree with, which is that there's, you know, a serious discussion to be had about sexually explicit pop culture material and whether it's appropriate for kids, whether it's appropriate for teens, whether celebrities have a certain responsibility about the images they project, that's all fair game in there. Having said that, to go say the way he said it, and oh, by the way, he also speculated that because she dresses so provocatively, is Jay-Z crossing the line from being her husband to her pimp? Now, if Jay-Z's the pimp, who's the whore? As I put this in the Morning Jolt and on Campaign Spot, if a guy comes up to you in a bar or restaurant and says your wife's dressed like a whore, you're going to punch that guy. Okay, them's fighting words. That is a, you know, really over-the-top sort of thing to say. And, you know, a lot of defendants, well, he didn't really say that. He didn't use the word whore. No, but he used the word pimp. And there's no, again, I found this to be really over-the-top provocative. And even if you want to persuade the Beyonce fans, this is exactly the wrong way to go about it. And I said, look, I'm sure this plays really well in the Iowa caucuses. Some folks, including University of Iowa professor Tim Hagel, said that's an insult to the Iowa caucus goers. They don't support this sort of thing. Well, I think this poll indicates that if it's not, if it doesn't play terrifically amongst Iowa caucus goers, it certainly doesn't play badly. More people agree with it than disagree with it. Mike Huckabee, I would argue he's not really running for president. He would disagree with this. His supporters would disagree with this. But you look at the way he argues about this. He's effectively running to be king of the Iowa caucuses, or more specifically, king of the largest plurality of the Iowa caucuses, because, you know, he's got that 40% in that poll number. We don't know exactly how much he will finish with in that on caucus night, presuming he runs and presuming he stays in throughout the whole race. I wouldn't be surprised if he finished somewhere between 30 and 40%. That's what he got in 2008. And, you know, somebody said, well, do you think that 40% of people who agree with Huckabee on Beyonce, you know, do you think they're single issue voters and they're all going to vote for him because of this? I said, no, but that 40% is going to gravitate towards the Republican candidate who is the most outspoken, socially conservative culture warrior. And I think right now that's Huckabee. I think that the only person who might be a kind of comparable figure is Santorum, and I think Huckabee does this better. I think Huckabee can somehow do this with humor and a smile on his face. Now, I think it's a nutty idea for a Republican presidential candidate if you're running around talking about what pop culture acts are okay and which ones aren't okay. I think there are a lot of bigger issues. This plays terribly at the general election. I think it looks like a silly distraction. You know, I can't help but get the feeling that, look, Jay-Z and Beyonce are well-known supporters of Obama. They've been over the White House a bazillion times. They're buddy-buddy with them. And so, look, there's a certain number of Iowa caucus goers who are going to love the idea of trashing sinful and salacious pop culture stars who are associated with the Obamas. I just think in terms of conservatives, I don't think this moves the ball in our direction. And this consists of, and perhaps pun very much intended, preaching to the converted by the, on the part of Huckabee. So that's why I chalked this up as the crazy martini. I can't believe, you know, the Republican nomination will be determined by vaccines and Beyonce.
I was just going to say, vaccines and Beyonce. Good to see we're on message a few months ahead of the campaign beginning.
Maybe we get it out of our system, right?
Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to be with us on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.